Now, the title of the message is Pentecostal Preaching. You won't have any trouble remembering that, I'm sure. Pentecostal Preaching. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, of course, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, the opening words of the second chapter of the book of Acts. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. The opening words of Acts chapter 2 are as follows. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, when you hear the word Pentecost, what comes to your mind? Right off the top of your head. Now, what first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word Pentecost? Well, now, most people think of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the next few verses say. Listen. And suddenly, they were all together in the upper room. They are together in the place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. You see that? Verse 2 and 3. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So when most people hear the word Pentecost, that's the first thing they think of, because that's the first thing mentioned. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, and the disciples were there together, suddenly there was a sound from heaven, and a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit did come and fill the disciples. You know, our Lord had told them. He had told them back some time before to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And this was a fulfillment of that promise. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of God shall fill you. Well, other people, when they hear the word Pentecost, they think of the gifts of the Spirit, especially the gift of tongues. That's what many people think of. When they hear of Pentecost, they think of the gift of tongues. And that's what the word says here. Now look at verse 5. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now listen carefully to me. Listen carefully. Anytime the word tongue is used in the Scriptures, it means either this instrument, organ in your mouth, the tongue, or it means a language, a distinct, audible, understood language which somebody speaks, a tongue in the mouth, or a tongue or language. That's right. And you read that verse carefully. When the Holy Ghost came upon them, these disciples began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now listen to the next verse. And every man heard them speak in his own language. They spoke, preached the gospel, preached the word of God in a language understood. See, the verse tells us there were Jews, devout people there from every country. People were there from everywhere. They were there for the Feast of Pentecost. And these people spoke different languages. And there they were all there to celebrate that Feast of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and they began to preach the gospel. And every different country there, the people from all the different countries, heard the gospel in their own language. One of them, they began to say, "How hear we every man in his own tongue, in his own language?" Listen to the next one. We do hear them preach in our tongue, in our language. We hear them in our language preach the word of God. So when you mention Pentecost, some people think of the Holy Spirit, coming of the Holy Spirit. Some people think of other tongues, gifts of the Spirit. And then other people, when you mention Pentecost, I remember we used to sing a song years ago, "Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, the floodgates of blessings on us throw open wide." Some people, when you think of Pentecost, they think of the crowds and the many conversions and the great power of God that fell in conversion. In fact, verse 41 of Acts 2 says there, the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls, 3,000 conversions in one day. But my friends, what exactly is Pentecost? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, do you know what Pentecost means, what the word means? Well, Pentecost, listen, I'll tell you, it was one of several special feasts given by God to Israel. You'll find it in Leviticus 23. If you want to look it up, Leviticus 23, 4 through 21. You see, there are several feasts mentioned. There was the Passover. You know about it. The Passover that originated in Egypt when God led Israel out of Egypt by the hand of Moses, and God ordained that they were to keep that Passover every year, that Passover every year forever. And, you know, he gave them the blood of the Lamb. He said, I'll pass over you. And they kept that Passover feast until Christ came, who is our Passover. Christ is our Passover. And then there was the feast of the waving of the sheaf. The waving of the sheaf. That was the first day after the Passover Sabbath. The Passover Sabbath was on Saturday. And the first day after the Passover Sabbath was the waving of the sheaf. And that's when Israel brought the first fruits unto the Lord. And they would wave the first fruits. It was the beginning of the harvest. And they would wave the first fruits. And they were saying to the Lord, every product of the soil, all the results of our labor is of the Lord. The Lord has blessed us. That's the waving of the sheaf. And that speaks of Christ too. The Passover speaks of Christ, and so does the waving of the sheaf. The first fruits, he's the first fruits of them that slept. The first fruits. And then there's Pentecost. And the word Pentecost means 50th. It denotes 50th. The end of the harvest, the 50th day, on the 50th day after the Passover, the people gathered to observe the feast of Pentecost. And that's what they were doing there. They were observing the feast of the Pentecost, the end of the harvest, 50th day after the Passover. And all these people were there. And that's when the Holy Spirit came. And that's when the disciples preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in other languages. And that's when all these people were converted and came to God. But to me, the dominating factor of Pentecost. Now, I've mentioned what a lot of other people think of when they think of Pentecost, but to me, the dominating factor, the chief issue raised at Pentecost and what people went away talking about from Pentecost was the gospel of Jesus Christ, which Peter preached to them in other languages, under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. You see, this was the first sermon after our Lord arose, ascended back to heaven. And the chief issue and the dominating factor was not the Holy Spirit coming. It was at first, when the cloven tongues of fire and the rushing mighty wind and the sound from heaven. At first, that took up all their attention. And then the disciples began to speak. First time they'd ever done this. They began to preach, and everybody there heard them preach the gospel in their own language. All these different people from all parts of the world heard them preach in their own language. And that took up their attention. And these men were shocked. They were amazed. Hey, they said, we're hearing the mighty works of God in our own tongue. They could hear these unlearned fishermen preach the gospel in their own language. That'd be like me preaching right now, and people out there from Spain and France and Germany and Russia hearing the gospel in their own tongue. And that got their attention for a while. But let me tell you this, the great issue, the dominating factor raised at Pentecost in this first sermon preached by the Apostle Peter, it's introduced now in verse 22. Here's the issue. All of these things that had attracted their attention, all of these things that had amazed them, faded into the background when Peter began to preach this gospel. The Holy Spirit empowered him to preach. All that were there heard him preach in their own tongues. And you know what they heard? They heard the gospel. They heard the gospel. They heard of Jesus of Nazareth. Now you follow in your Bible, and I'll show you now. When all of the dust had settled, Holy Spirit had come, and these men were preaching in other languages, and the great crowd had assembled there. And then Peter stood up, verse 22. Look at it. Here comes the power. Here comes the message. Here comes the chief issue. Here comes what God would have men to hear. Verse 22. Ye men of Israel, Peter said, ye men of Israel. You got it there in your Bible? Hear these words. Hear these words. Don't look at the miracles. There are plenty more where those came from. Don't look at the gifts. Don't look at the fire. Don't listen to the wind. Hear my words. Hear these words. You see, my friend, the power of God's in His Word. James 1:18 said, "We of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth." Romans 10 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." 1 Peter 1:23 says, "We're born again not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the Word of God." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation." Ye men of Israel, don't listen to the wind. Don't watch the fire. Don't look at the gifts and the miracles. Hear my words. Hear my words. There's where life is. There's where the power is. There's where the grace of God is, in these glorious, blessed words of life. Now listen to him. Jesus of Nazareth. No mistaking who he's talking about. Son of Mary, the carpenter, the man they said was a wine bibber and a gluttonous man. Jesus of Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Yes, he is a man. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, seed of a woman, born of a woman, but no ordinary man. Hear my words, he said. Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Approved of God, a man ordained of God, a man sent of God, a man one with God, a man approved, ordained, and sent of God, approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs, which you yourselves know, which God did by him. God did these miracles. They're witnesses. John chapter 5 tells us all those witnesses. John the Baptist bore witness of him. The Heavenly Father spake from heaven and bore witness of him. He said, "The works that I do bear witness of me. Who can make a blind man see? Who can raise a dead man?" And the Scriptures, search the Scriptures. In them you think you have life. They testify of me. Ye men of Israel, hear my words. I'm talking about Jesus of Nazareth, a man. But a man sent of God, a man approved of God, a man ordained of God among you by signs and miracles and wonders, which you yourselves also know, which God did by him. And verse 23, look at it. And you, with wicked hands, crucified him. That's right. You all know that. You cried, "Give us Barabbas," and crucified Jesus Christ. Yes, you did. You bore false witness against him. He was nailed to a cross while you walked around his cross and laughed and said, "If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross." You crucified him 50 days ago, right outside the city walls of Jerusalem. But listen, he was delivered into your hands, delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He was delivered into your wicked hands. You with wicked hands crucified him and slew him on a tree. But you did what God determined before to be done. For God delivered him into your hands by his determinate person and by his counsel and by his own foreknowledge. And you simply carried out the will of God. He was a lamb slain, yea, before the foundation of the world. Everything that they did in the soldiers' hall, Pilate's hall, on that cross was ordained of God, foretold of God, promised by God, and prophesied by God. That they'd spit upon him, that they'd pluck his beard, that they'd pierce his hands and feet, that they'd crucify him between two thieves, that they'd sell him for 30 pieces of silver, and that the man who sold him for 30 pieces of silver would commit suicide and take his money right back to those that gave it to him. All prophesy. You did what God determined to be done. In verse 24, look, you crucified him. Peter, boy, I tell you now, they're not thinking about what language they're hearing it in. And they're not thinking about the cloven tongues and the rushing wind. They're listening to this man, Peter, preach. "You men of Israel, you hear me," he said, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, you crucified him. But you did what God determined before to be done," verse 24, "and God raised him from the dead. You took him down from the tree, and you put him in a tomb, and you rolled a stone over that tomb, and you got Pilate to put the Roman seal on that stone and station soldiers out there. But it wasn't possible that life could be holden by death. And God raised him from the tomb." God raised him. I tell you, that's the doctrine these Jewish leaders hated more than any other doctrine, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. And that's the glorious truth we love the most. For if he rose from the grave, it says God has accepted all that he did in our place and in our stead. If he arose from the grave, he arose for our justification. If he arose from the grave because he lives, we live. Paul said, "If Christ be not risen, you're yet in your sins. If Christ be not risen, we're false witnesses of God. If Christ be not risen, the dead are perished. But God raised him from the dead." Boy, they're listening now, aren't they? "Ye men of Israel, hear my words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, a God man, approved of God. God sent him. You crucified him. But you did what God determined before to be done. God delivered him into your wicked hands and you crucified him. And you, doing what you wanted to do, did what God willed to be done, and God raised him from the dead." In verse 25, your famous King David. Look at verse 25. David speaketh concerning this Jesus of Nazareth. David spoke concerning him. David said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand." Not only David spoke of him, but all your prophets spoke of him. Moses wrote of him. Abraham saw his day and rejoiced. To him give all your prophets witness. Go through the Old Testament. I'm sure Peter said to them, go through it from Genesis to Malachi. Go through it from Moses to Isaiah to Malachi. Go through the Psalms and every one of the books, and you'll find God prophesying of Jesus of Nazareth. The Messiah, the Christ, the Passover, the prophet like Moses, the high priest, the mercy seat, the tabernacle. David wrote of him. Look at verse 27. When David wrote, Peter said this. You listen to me. When David wrote and said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." David wasn't talking about himself. For David's dead. David's dead and you know it. David in the grave. Why, his sepulchre is with us to this day. But David was a prophet, and David spoke of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. David wasn't speaking of himself. When he said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool," he wasn't talking about himself. When David said, "Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption, nor leave my soul in the grave," he wasn't talking about himself. David prophesied of him. David wrote concerning to him. And then Peter brought this down to him. Listen, look at verse 32. Don't you know these men of Israel were listening now? David was their king, their hero. And he said, David believed in Christ Jesus. David looked at Abraham, rejoiced to see his day. Moses rode up, and you've crucified him. You've denied him. You've rejected him. You've requested a thief in his place. Verse 32, now listen. And this Jesus, this same Jesus whom you crucified, God raised from the dead. Not another now, this same Jesus. Same one who walked the streets of Capernaum. The same one who walked through Jericho. The same one who stood his hands bound in front of Pilate, blood dripping from the wounds inflicted by the soldiers. The same one upon whose head you put a crown of thorns and spit in his face and nailed him to a cross and said, we'll not have this man reign over us. That same Jesus, that same one, not another, that same one. Acts 1:11, when the angels appeared to the disciples on the Mount of Ascension, they said to them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. Look at verse 36. Peter said, God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Christ. God has raised him. And not only that, look at verse 33. And he went on. And he said, God hath highly exalted him to his right hand. Where is this Jesus you rejected? Where is this Jesus you denied? Where is this Jesus you nailed to a cross? Where is this Jesus now? He's at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Boy, wasn't anybody arguing over tongues then, were they? Nobody debating about wind and cloven tongues and who got baptized and who didn't. These men are in trouble. Trouble. They've rejected the Messiah. They've turned thumbs down on the King of Israel. They rejected God's Son. They nailed him to a cross. They're standing there listening to Peter preach, their hands dripping, still stained with the blood of that man whom they crucified, who was now the only mediator between God and men at God's right hand. Peter said in verse 34, David's not ascended into the heavens. But the Lord God said to my Lord Jesus, sit thou on my right hand till I make your enemies, your footstool. And they knew they were enemies. They knew they were enemies. They said, we have no king but Caesar. They knew they were enemies. And then Peter summed up his message and he said, therefore, here's my conclusion. Now, you see the chief issue at Pentecost? Wasn't the Holy Ghost, wasn't tongues, wasn't miracles, wasn't rushing mighty wind. Is who is this man, Jesus Christ, whom we've crucified, whom we denied, whom we spat upon, whom we rejected? This man says he's in glory. Therefore, he said, let all the house of Israel know, every one of you fellows know assuredly, that God hath made that same Jesus whom you denied, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Here's the issue. Who is Jesus Christ? If I have any guilt, let me preach who he is, the God-man. What did he do? He came into this world, was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, hated and despised of men, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. If I've got the gift of the Holy Ghost, let me preach what he did. Why did he do it? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That God may be just and justified. If I've got any talent or gift given of God, let me tell men the good news. Where is he now? At the right hand of God. Now, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, when they heard what? The wind? The wind that just made them, just shocked them, just astounded them, amazed them. But this gospel message Peter preached convicted them, pricked their hearts, crushed them, broke them, brought them down. Now, when they heard this, when they heard what? The wind? No, sir. When they heard the tongues? No, sir. All they did when they heard the tongues was marvel and say, hey, those guys are speaking our language, and they haven't learned. Isn't that astounding? Isn't that something? That's amazing. We'll have to tell our grandchildren about that. Oh, no. When they heard this, who is Jesus Christ? And the fact that they had crucified the Lord of glory, when they heard this, they cried out, men and brethren, what are we going to do? We're in trouble with God. We're in trouble with the law. We're in trouble with justice. We're alienated from God. We've turned our backs on Him whom God has sent. What are we going to do? God's angry with us. What are we going to do? What shall we do? And Peter replied, repent. Change your mind about God. Change your mind about Jesus Christ. Change your mind about yourselves. You're sinners. You're guilty. You have nothing to offer. Repent. Turn from your idols to the living God. Turn from your ceremony. Turn from your tradition. Turn from your self-righteousness. Turn to Christ. Cry for mercy. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way believers in the New Testament confessed Christ. They didn't raise their hand, walk down an aisle. They went to the river and they were baptized, confessing that when Christ died, they died. When He was buried, they were buried. When He arose, they arose. Repent. Change your mind about Jesus Christ. Bow to Him. Honor Him. Glorify Him. Believe on Him. Look to Him. And be baptized in His name. He's your only hope. He's your only hope. That's Pentecostal preaching now. That's Pentecostal preaching. It's not talking about the Holy Ghost or tongues. It's talking about Jesus Christ. That's true Pentecostal preaching. And it won't just raise amazement. It'll raise conviction and bring men to know God. All right, I have this message on a tape, the cassette tape, substitution. On the other side, Pentecost. Write for it. We'll send it to you. Send $2. Here's the address. Till next week, God bless you.